Good morning, church. It is good to be with you all this morning. Make sure I'm turned on. Okay. It's good to see you all this morning. Just a couple of things before we get started into our lesson this morning. I want to echo what Kevin had to say in the announcements. Welcome home to so many of our members. You guys were gone all last week. I know in various camps, some in Virginia, some in New Jersey. It's good to have you all back home. On that note, I also want to echo something that Josh brought up in his message or in his letter that he wrote. I'm so thankful for you all. I think I shared it with some of you all before, but I don't think I've said it in a public setting. I was gone for about a week after about 3 weeks of being here when I moved up here in Ohio working with the camp. And I've never really been one to be very homesick, but I started feeling kind of homesick when I was in Ohio. And I wasn't homesick for Kentucky. I was homesick for here, and that was really cool to feel that way. It was sad, but it was also really cool. I really miss you all whenever I'm not with you all or whenever you guys are away, and I'm glad that you guys had a good week last week and that we're all back here to be able to worship God this morning. We have a lot of guests here with us also. Thank you all for being here. I hope that you'll find that we are people that are interested in God's Word. That last verse of that song that Brian just led for us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what we want to do. We want to live by the word of God. And that's what we're going to do in this next period of worship together. Open up God's word and see what he has to say for us so that we can grow closer to him. Open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start here with just one verse this morning. This morning I want to start kind of a series of lessons that I want to talk about, discussing a concept that we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So let's just read just one verse here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says this, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." The New American Standard will put it like this, "Rather, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." That's the idea that I want to start discussing as a church, as a family here, for the purpose of godliness, purposing in our life what godliness actually is. And we're going to discuss a lot of really intricate ideas on that and break it down into some very specific topics over the next few lessons that I have planned. And so when you see this graphic, you know that's what we're talking about. But I want to start kind of in a broad subject of that, using today for the purpose of godliness. Days matter. Single days matter. They're very important. Days make a huge difference in our lives. We understand that. In our history, July 4th, 1776, was an important day for our history as a country. We celebrated it 4 days ago. It defined what our country is and who we are. December 7th, in 1941, the day that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, that defined our country. It changed the course of where our country was headed at that time. September 11th, 2001, defined our country really for the last 17 years. Single days make a huge impact. Even in Bible history, single days make a huge impact. In the days of creation, one day from creation redefined what the world was from the last day before it. And we see that all throughout the Bible. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, the day that Adam and Eve sinned redefined the relationship that God would have with mankind forever. Whenever Israel left Egypt, that redefined God's relationship with Egypt, and it put his stamp on the people of Israel, saying that you are my people. Whenever they entered the land of Canaan, we've been studying on Tuesday nights, some of us in our meetup, the story of Joshua, reading through the book of Joshua. On that seventh day when they marched around Jericho, that really changed whose land Canaan was. It defined who the people of Israel were and who their God was on that seventh day. The day that Jesus rose from the dead, the single most important day in history, what we just spent time remembering, it's an important day. Single days make a huge difference. In our personal lives, single days are really important. Your birthday. I'm not a big fan of birthdays. I don't like birthdays. I know a lot of people here do, and that might offend some of you all, but I don't understand the point of birthdays. It's just another day. But when you think about it, without your birthday, you wouldn't be here. Your birthday defines who you are pretty significantly. The day that you started school defined your life pretty significantly. The day that you graduated from high school or graduated from college or whenever you got engaged or whenever you got married or your first child's birthday or your first grandchild's birthday. All these days are important, and all these single events are important, and they stay with us because we understand that single events and days matter. They make a huge difference because one day, so many things could happen that change the course of your life and that molds you into who you become and who you are. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be here for most of the morning, so you can put a marker here in Ephesians 5. But I want to read just one verse right now. Ephesians chapter 5, actually two verses, verse 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us this command. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." This command of the Holy Spirit really applies to every part of your life. And so I want to ask you all this question as we get started this morning. What is the most important day of your life? And notice how I phrased that. Not what was the most important day of your life. What is the most important day of your life? There are a lot of days that define us and that mold us into who we are, but what is the most important day of your life? Your past is in the past. Your future isn't really guaranteed. It might not happen. So I want to submit to us this morning that today, not July 8th, 2018, but whatever today is the most important day of your life. It's the day that you make a lot of critical decisions on if you're going to purpose yourself for godliness or not. Today is when that happens. And so I want to talk about using today and what that really looks like. Using today for the purpose of godliness. Well, how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, I think Ephesians chapter 5 really shows us kind of a perfect picture of using today for godliness. So we're just going to skim through this passage and look at all these different things that we can do, what looking like purposing ourselves for godliness is. And the first one, the most important, is in verse 1. Verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." Imitators of God. Imitate God. What would God do? How would God best use his time if he were one of us? That seems like kind of a lofty statement. God isn't constrained by time like we are. He's everlasting. He's eternal. So what would God do if he was one of us? Well, God was one of us. That's the good thing, that we can look to God. Imitating God would be difficult if we didn't have the person of Jesus. But we do have Jesus, and Jesus lived the perfect life. And that's a fascinating idea to me, that Jesus lived the perfect life. Whenever I think about that, I think that Jesus was without sin. And yeah, absolutely, Jesus was without sin. He was perfect. But more than that, more than being perfectly abstinent from sin, he was perfectly righteous. Jesus was a man who used his time in the best way. And so the first way that we look and see what this looks like is by seeing the life of Jesus, reading the life of Jesus, seeing what Jesus did with his time. And the best way that I recommend to you all to do that is just read Mark. Mark is probably the quickest way that you can get as much exposure to Jesus' life as possible. Read all of the Gospels, certainly, but Mark is a good starting point. If you haven't actually seen the life of Jesus, just read about it and see what Jesus does in his life. It's amazing to see how Jesus uses his time for God. And so the rest of this chapter, we have kind of a breakdown, an overview of practically what that is. And we're going to be moving kind of quickly through this. I will have all of these up on the screen, but if you're taking notes, I apologize. Please don't get angry at me. We're going to be moving pretty quick this morning. So let's just move through the text and see what this looks like. In verse 2, someone that uses their time in the way for godliness walks in love. In verse 3, we're not sexually immoral. You don't use your time for sexual immorality. That's not a good thing. It's not a good use of time. In verse 4, there's no foolish talking or crude joking. That's a waste of time. Using your words in a way that aren't effective is a waste of time. It's not using your time in the best way. There in verse 4 again, we're thankful. Being thankful is a very good use of your time. In verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 5, 5. We walk as children of light. Walking in the light is a good use of our time. In verse 11, we don't partake in works of darkness and the evil, unfruitful works of darkness, but we expose them. That's an excellent use of time in not walking in darkness. We don't get drunk in verse 18. That's a terrible use of time. It's not what Christians do. It's a waste to get drunk. And so we don't do that. We use our time in a more effective way than that. In verse 18 again, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a good use of time. That's what Jesus did. In verse 19, we sing songs of praise. I want to kind of stop right there, singing songs of praise in verse 19. We often kind of think that singing is like a worship, like a Sunday kind of thing. But singing any time of the week is a great use of your time to praise God. When you think about when you're just so full of joy of who God actually is that you overflow with song and praising God, that's a wonderful way to use your week. Just while you're at work, singing praises to God. When you're at home, singing praises to God. Before you go to bed, singing praises to God. It doesn't just have to be on Sunday. It's a good thing to do, to use your time to sing praises to God. Continuing on in the chapter, in verse 20, we're thankful. Notice that verse 20 and verse 4, be thankful. It happens twice in this chapter. That's a pretty important idea. Being thankful is an excellent use of our time. In verse 21, we submit to each other out of reverence of Christ. And we're not finished there. Using your time, it even flows into our relationships with each other, into our family, using our time effectively. And so in verse 22 through 24, we see the wife using her time effectively towards the husband. And in verse 25 and 30 through 33, we see the husband using his time effectively towards the wife. And then in chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, children using their time effectively towards parents. And in chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, the slaves to master relationship, which can easily be compared to employees and employers, using their time effectively. When you look at that list, can you find a part of your life that isn't mentioned there, or something that you're responsible for, or some kind of commitment that you made that isn't covered by something that can be done here to use your time in that situation? You can do at least one of these things in every situation of your life, using your time effectively like that. But it all goes back to that first one, imitating Jesus. What using your time effectively looks like is being like Jesus. And so what does it look like to use our time, use today for the purpose of godliness? Well, it looks like someone who says, this life isn't very long, and there aren't many guarantees, and I'm not sure about tomorrow, but I have today, and I'm going to use today to walk in love, to be thankful, to not be sexually immoral or crude in my speech, to sing praises, to submit to other people, to have good relationships with my family and with my coworkers. It looks like someone who's purposeful. And that's what I want to bring to our attention this morning. Christians are purposeful people because Christ was a purposeful person. And that's what we need to do in our lives. But before we break down exactly what that looks like, the practical side of using today for godliness, there are a few warnings that we need to consider. So keep your finger there or a marker there in Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at a few of the Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon has some very interesting things that we need to consider while we're moving forward with this idea. In Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 1, Solomon would say this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring." We don't really talk like that now. I don't think that I boast about tomorrow. That's not really a concept. That's kind of a Bible thing, you know. We don't worry about that, boasting about tomorrow. We glaze over that. But the more that I think about it, we boast about tomorrow a lot. And it manifests in procrastination. Procrastination is boasting about tomorrow. Let me show you what I mean. Sometimes I'll think in my mind, well, tomorrow, you know, I'm kind of tired right now. Tomorrow I'll be in a better mental state to study this material. Tomorrow, I'll start praying to God more regularly. Tomorrow, I'll go and help that person with whatever issue that they're dealing with. Tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow, there'll be more time. Tomorrow, I can start serving God like I need to. What are you doing?
boasting about tomorrow. Tomorrow is when it's all going to happen. But today is when it needs to happen. Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. I used to really struggle with procrastination a lot. I still do sometimes, but not as much as I used to. I was that kid in high school that would get home with a bunch of homework, and I would go out and play with my friends or play video games or waste time watching TV or whatever, and then I'd go to bed super late at 2 in the morning, and then I'd wake up at 6 in the morning, and I'd rush to school, and I'd sit in my desk and try to fill out all of my homework before the bell rang. I was that kid. And I had friends that would get home from school, and I have no idea how they did it. But they would get home without drinking anything or eating a snack or going and playing anything, and they would sit down and do all of their homework the first thing. And it blew my mind that they could do that. But that's what we need to do as Christians. Don't put off good things. Use your time effectively now. Don't boast about tomorrow. Tomorrow might not happen. And so we have today to do that. And the second warning that we need to consider is in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, in verse 24. Solomon says this, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth." I like the paraphrase of this, that someone is so lazy to the point where they reach down and grab some food and then they just can't bring it to their mouth. They're too tired to eat. Have you ever been like that? I've been like that, like on Thanksgiving. Just eat so much and like, I can't eat anymore, but I'm going to try. That lazy attitude, one of my favorite comedians puts it like this. He says, "If you do nothing for long enough, even the most menial task becomes exhausting." And that's true. We realize that. You're sitting on the couch watching TV, and after you sit and watch TV for so long, even pointing the remote is just, that's so inconvenient, having to point the remote. And hopefully you don't lose the remote. Then you have to stand up and press the buttons on the TV. And we laugh. It's funny to think like that. But as Christians, that happens to us. If you spend so long doing nothing, doing the smallest little thing just seems so exhausting. And there's a danger in that. And we need to be aware of that, to not become lazy. Don't be like the sluggard here in Proverbs 19. I don't want to be that guy that the Bible talks about in that way. And I'm sure that you guys don't want that either. And there's one more. This one's kind of on the flip side of the coin. In Psalm 127, a psalm that Solomon wrote here. And I find this really interesting, this idea. In Psalm 127 in verse 2, look what Solomon has to say. "It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." Look over after you read that in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we're moving kind of quickly, I'm sorry about that. But in Mark chapter 6, Jesus would say it like this. In Mark 6, verse 30, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place for a while and rest.'" There's an inherent danger in overworking yourself. And I know some people that do that. They just go all day nonstop and just burn out, and then they're just spent. And there's a danger in that. Rest is a good thing. God made rest for us for a reason. God himself rested on the seventh day of creation. And so these are some warnings that we need to consider as we're moving forward, thinking about how to use today for the purpose of godliness. We need to not procrastinate. We need to not be lazy, but we also need to not overwork ourselves. Well, what does that look like? How do you balance those things? Well, the answer is in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, that first verse that we read, the second verse said, "Make the best use of your time because the days are evil." But the first verse in Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." Wisdom plays a really big role in this whole process of balancing these three things. We need to be wise enough to think about our day beforehand. Preparing a day, using today, requires a lot of wise thinking. And I have a sidebar here that I want to mention. One of my personal pet peeves, whenever you think of wisdom, at least for me, whenever I think of the idea of wisdom, as a young man,
it's my tendency to tone that out and just kind of put a wall up because, oh, I'm not old enough to be wise. Wisdom is what happens when you get old. And I want to be careful in what I say here. I don't want to be misunderstood. But wisdom has very little to do with how old you are. There is a significant amount of wisdom that you get from your age and from experience. But when I read the Bible, when I read Proverbs, go through the Proverbs, and I see the comparison of the fool and the wise man, and through the first seven chapters of Proverbs and wisdom personified, I know a lot of people much older than me who identify very well with the fool or with that sluggard that we read about. I know a lot of people that are much younger than me that apply very well to the fool. But I also know a lot of people younger than me who are very wise and apply to that wise man. And I know people older than me that are very wise and identify with that wise man. Age doesn't have as much to do with wisdom as what we think. And so if you're young, don't use that as an excuse to not use today for godliness. You can be wise as a young person. I know that because of people that I read about in the Bible. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of Judah. And you know what the Bible says about Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22? It says that he walked in the way of the Lord, and he didn't turn to the right or the left. He was a wise 8-year-old. We don't put those two together, 8 years old and wisdom. That doesn't seem right in our minds. But we can purpose ourselves to be wise, regardless of what age that you are. And so we need to keep that in mind as we're moving forward. Wisdom plays a significant role in using today for godliness. So what are some simple steps that we can use to create this day today for godliness? Well, the first one is there in Ephesians 5 verse 1, like we already talked about. Imitate God. Read about the life of Christ. Read through Christ's example and see that and apply it to yourself. Christ lived perfectly, and he is the ultimate example of making the best use of your time. Another simple step that we can take is making good decisions and following through with those decisions. Look over in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 62, look what Jesus has to say here. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Whenever you're thinking about creating a good day today to worship God, go and do a good thing and then follow up with that good thing and keep doing it. Doing one good thing doesn't make a good today. Today is 24 hours. Do good all day, 24 hours. And then the next day, do good all day, 24 hours. And then the next day, do good all day, 24 hours. And keep going. Put your hand to the plow and keep moving forward. Do good and follow through with that. And that takes some self-control. This is kind of grammatically incorrect how I put it up here. Self-control your time. But that's really what we need to do. Distribute or use self-control in our lives. A lot of issues that Christians deal with really stem from a lack of self-control when you think about it. When you can't control yourself enough, that's really when you sin and you give in to temptation. But when you're controlling yourself, you can overcome temptation through the power of God, and then you can do good. If you purpose that beforehand, if you make provisions for good. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul would say, give no opportunity to the devil. Well, the opposite of that is give all the opportunity to the Lord and to God. Purposing yourself, be self-controlled enough to actually have a plan for using today. Be purposeful in that. And the last thing that I would suggest to you on creating this day is prioritize good things. Look over in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, let me set the stage for what's going on here in this chapter. The church in Jerusalem has been formed in Acts chapter 2, and there are some Greek widows who are being neglected in the distribution of the food, the daily distribution. And that's a problem. That's an issue that needs to be dealt with. And so the Christians come to the apostles and they present them with this problem. And look what the apostles have to say about this. In
Acts chapter 6 in verse 2, the apostles say, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." I find that really fascinating, that idea. There was a good thing that needed to be done. But the apostles said, we need to do this. It's better for us to do this. In our daily lives, that happens all the time. There are a lot of good things that you can do as a Christian. But there are a lot of better things that you can do also. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul would say, make the best use of your time. Not make a good use of your time. Make the best use of your time. And that goes back to wisdom, to prioritizing what we need to do in our lives. And it takes thought. It actually takes time out of your day to maybe sit down and plan what you need to do beforehand. It's a good idea to wake up probably an hour earlier and think about what you're going to do today before you go and do it. That would be a wise practice to get into. And I'm speaking to myself when I say that. I enjoy sleeping. I really like sleeping. Sleeping is probably one of my top 5 favorite things to do. But if it's getting in the way of you using today for godliness, you can go with 1 hour less of sleep. If that's what it will take for you to purpose, to prioritize, to self-control yourself, do that. Do what you need to do to prioritize those things. Our todays matter. Single days make a big difference. And we need to realize that as we move forward in our lives as Christians. Think about specifically today, whatever today is, what can I do to serve God in the best way? As we wrap up, I want to think about just one more concept when we're discussing this. Be radical when you do that. I like words. I like looking at words and what words actually mean and where they come from. Did you know that the word radical, where we get that English word radical, comes from a Latin word which literally means roots, like the roots of a tree. There's a blog that I like to read sometimes. It's titled Radically Christian. Some of you all may be familiar with that and maybe have read that at times. But basically the premise behind it is the author will take a subject and he'll discuss that subject. He'll introduce that subject at the beginning. And then he says, now let's look at what God has to say about this subject and go to the Word. And he titles his blog Radically Christian. He wants to be rooted in God's Word when making those decisions. That's the same kind of concept that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 13. Look over at Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 20 and 21, Jesus, explaining the parable of the sower to his apostles and to his disciples, will say this. In verse 20, "As for the what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." That's not a radical person. That's not someone who's rooted in God's word. We need to be so rooted and founded in God's word that we're radical in our actions. It's going to seem crazy to some people what you do in your today. But that's kind of the point. We're supposed to be radical. We're supposed to be rooted and always go back to God's word. Because really, what we're talking about each today is a life or death today. You make decisions today that could be completely detrimental to your soul. Or could lead to life for your soul. That happens today. And it'll happen every today that you have. And we need to realize that disciplining ourselves for godliness happens every 24 hours. It's not, we don't have off time as a Christian. We don't have the weekend, working for the weekend as a Christian to do nothing. 24 hours every day, we purpose ourselves for godliness and we be radical in that. As we move forward with this idea for the purpose of godliness, we need to keep this idea in mind, using today, every single day. And while we're going to break down some different disciplines over the next few months, disciplines that we can use, specific things that we can do every day to purpose ourselves for godliness. But it starts on the foundation of realizing that it's every day. We're Christians every day, 24/7 Christians. Because that's what we're called to do. Use your time in the best way, because the days are evil, in Ephesians 5. If you're using a songbook, you can go ahead and take that out. We have
one more reason to talk about why today is so important. There's one really big reason why today matters so much, why using today for godliness matters. I had a friend in college who had a shirt that I really, really liked. It said, it was very simple. It just said, "Today I might go to heaven." And that's true. Today might be the day that the Lord comes back. Today might be the day that's your last day on earth. Today it could be very important for your eternity. And if you haven't been saved, you're not going to enjoy the rest of eternity in the presence of God. If you need to be saved, if you need to be baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ and have your sins washed away for the forgiveness of your sins, do that today. Do it right now. You might not have tomorrow. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. And if you've fallen away from God and you've let the cares of this world draw you away from Him, come back to Him today. Use today for godliness. If you need the help of this church here, please come forward and do that now while we stand and sing.